I want to share with you a couple of things that the Lord gave me last evening for this morning. Then we'll go back on our message we had right before we had a picnic. Do you guys remember the car wash that Joe was advertising? We had a car wash and a bake sale, didn't we? The signs that we have. I want to share this morning. And I'm talking in my heart. I'm talking to the men in here. Well, I mean, listen up also. But this is a dream the Lord gave me the night before last. And I laid in bed and woke up. I thought, Lord, what does this mean? And he shared it with me. And many of you know I was in law enforcement for 30 years. And in law enforcement, we have this, sometimes you get this ego thing. Not really bad ego, but you get that you can go anywhere you want. Do whatever you have to do because you're invincible. But in my dream, my wife and I was driving into a city. A large city. I've never been to the city. I don't know which city it was. But as we drove, I started driving to the bad side of town. Driving into the, well, I guess you would call it the ghettos. And she's riding with me in there, and I fear nothing. My land sakes. I've walked the streets for 30 years. And so I drove into the bad section of town, and again, in a very large city. If you imagine in your mind what it looks like. And I parked the car. I said, I'm going to walk around. Because no one, Kathy's going to tell me I can't go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So I'm walking around with the confidence I carried with myself for 30 years. I got my wife with me. And pretty soon I enter a building. And I walk into the building. I get into the building. I start encountering people. Gang members. I don't care. I keep walking. And I'm walking up the steps looking around and stuff. My wife is behind me. And this guy steps out to the side of me. I just got to the plateau of these stairways, getting ready to go around the corner, and I see there's light. I see there's a door. Okay. But I take one step down on the run where the door is, on the step, not the run, but the step down. My wife is up here on the top of the landing, and just says, I took it to be the leader of the gang, says, "Where do you think you're going?" I thought, I know I'm going. No one's telling me. And I stepped toward the door, but I looked back, and my wife was standing there. And I can't explain the face she had, but just like, I'm not going anywhere. And I looked in her eyes, and I saw a hurtness in her eyes. And I thought, wow, I'm free. I came in this place. I feared nothing, and I'm leaving. But I knew my wife wasn't coming with me. I said, God, when I woke up, Lord, what does this mean? And he says, sometimes we take people with us that have no business going with you. What he shared in my heart is that we step into areas at times that we ourselves may be able to get out of, but the people we take with us can't. It's like we can step into sin. We can step into sin real close to getting out of it and step back out of it. But if you take your wife with you or your loved one with you, they might be paying the cost for what you decided to do. God just shared upon my heart that sin, or even this way, we'll say sin and also disobedient to the Word of God, doesn't just cost us. It costs those who are near to us. Right. And that should motivate us more and more to, God said it, let's do it. Because the wages of sin is death. And here was me being prideful in my dream. My gosh, no one's going to stop me, Kenny. But I took my wife with me. Yeah, nobody's going to mess with me. When I come around the corner, they have my wife. Now, how do you get to you? Kathy Snyder, how do I get to you if I can't get you? I go after your loved one. You might be too strong for me. You might be too canny for me. You might be too slick. So I'll go after your loved one. And when I get your loved one, I'll make you pay.
That's right.
And folks, that's what God is telling us today. That, you know, and again, this was last night, told me to share it. to someone in here today, and I receive it myself too. I mean, every message I take it myself too. That we're walking either in sin or too close to sin, or we're walking in disobedience of God's word. And you say, I don't care. I don't care what he says. I'm not going to do it. It's not you that might be paying the price. It's going to be your loved one. And we don't want that. We don't want that. And the second thing he showed me in a wilderness. In a wilderness, I mean, it's terrible. It must be the jungles of, I don't know, where jungle's at? Give me a jungle, guys. Vietnam? Okay. And I'm going through it, man. There's just a lot of sickness and disease. And as I was going through it, I knew that ahead of me somewhere, someone was coming to pick me up. And as a contender, I thought, okay. What came to my mind was I was in Vietnam. And I had a chopper coming to get me out of the wilderness, to take me out of this sickness, this death, this dying, this hopelessness. And I was headed towards it, and it was way down the road yet. But as I was going, towards a place to be evacuated, every once in a while, they would drop from the sky, they would drop me a bag of fruit, just enough to keep me going. And then pretty soon, man, they would drop me a pair of shoes, but they couldn't land where I was at. They couldn't come there to get me. I had to keep going to where they told me, I'll meet you over here. I had to keep going. Pretty soon, I had a pair of shoes, just enough to cover my feet. Then a poncho would come, just to keep me out of the dampness, and then for a tent. I would keep going to where they would evacuate me. And along the way, I would come across some people up in trees. They had a tree house. And I said, hey, listen, come on, they're going to evacuate. Come on up here, you got to come with me. Oh, that's okay, we're up here now. Up here, the wild animals can't chew me up. The wild animals can't kill me up here. Them lions and tigers, and then big old snakes. We're okay. No, come on. Sickness and death, the dying is here. You need to get out. Follow me. And along the way, as I headed towards the place before them picked me up, I kind of encountered more and more people. I kept sharing that. Come on! And some would follow with me. Come on! And I would share with them whatever they gave me to sustain my life as I continued on to the rendezvous place. Because, you know, once finally, when I come over the hill to the landing, I saw the big old Huey helicopter there. I was running towards it, and the people came with me to get on it to be evacuated. And the only thing I took with me was on my back. I took nothing else with me. I didn't take the hat they gave me or the coat they gave me. Nothing went with me. And what God showed me there is to listen. Too many times we are gathering stuff up. We're spending more time in the trees trying to live in this death and dying world, trying to be comfortable where we ain't going to be here very long anyway. We spend so much time there that we're keeping our eyes off of Him. That we're not looking at the rendezvous is coming very quick. He is coming to receive us. He's coming to get us out of this world. He'll supply our needs. My sister said today, He supplied her needs. That He'll give you the needs that you have in order to keep you going to the rendezvous. Yes. But what happens when we slow down, we start saying, well, I need this and I want this and I want. And next thing you know, the things of life that you want is keeping you away from the assembly, keeping you from worshiping the Lord. You put the things of this thing to be temporarily. Is ahead of us. The next thing you know, we miss the mark. We miss the rendezvous. We miss the taking away of the church. We fall back. Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard to motivate yourself and other people. I mean, brother, if you're out there today, let's say a flood's coming and it's raining like crazy and you're in a rowboat. Come on, Steve. Come on, man. It's flooding. I'm all right, man. Look at me. I'm on top of this thing. What little boat you have might ride the waves for a little bit. But the time is coming. There'll be so much rain coming, that little rubber ain't going to do you no good at all. But we get comfortable in where we're at. And we don't want to move on. And what He's called us to do, and for someone here today, listen, don't get too comfortable where you're at right now. You're sitting you're sitting down. You're living, you're making a residency in this world, which is death, dying, sickness, disease. This is all temporary. And you're trying to make yourself as comfortable as possible here, and you're losing sight from over there. And He says, get your eyes and over there and start walking towards me, because you don't need too much to get there. See, our home isn't here, right? Our home is in heaven. Yes. Up in heaven is where we're going to have our rewards up there in heaven. You understand that? Okay. Things in heaven are forever and ever and ever. Never lose them. But we've spent so much time either trying to get more junk here, or we spend more time trying to keep the junk that we have. Yep. Amen? And he said, man, don't do that. Don't. Put your eyes on me. The Lord said, just follow me. I will supply all your needs to the rich and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, through this thing that the Lord showed me, he never did drop me a motorcycle. He didn't give me a Humvee. Now, there's nothing wrong with motorcycles or Humvees, okay? But he knew what I needed. A Humvee did me no good in that dense wilderness. I said it looked pretty nice, hey, but I'm not going to go anywhere because there's no roads. He gave me exactly what I needed on the path I was on. He gave me a pair of shoes along this, probably a tiger path or elephant path I was on. And he gave me just enough covering to get me going. You know, if he made me too comfortable, Kathy, if he would have gave me hush puppies, woo-wee, okay. If he would have dropped me a couple bathing suits there open, it would fit me kind of nice, I might find myself in the Congo or wherever that place is swimming all the time. Oh man, it's not that bad. But he didn't make me comfortable. He met my needs, but he encouraged me to continue on. And that's what we need to do today. Allow him to meet your need, but continue on. Don't get relaxed. And as you're going on this route that he's given us, please share that to other people. I mean, if you imagine these people are living up in this, I don't know, big tree house, so they got pretty nice up there. You know, in my mind I see it. I don't know if you guys can see it or not. They're not worrying about what I'm trying to run from. The lions and tigers and bears and stuff like that. They got a made up. They get the little fortress here. And they found themselves to be comfortable there. But you understand, if you're in enemy territory, and you're sitting still, you know, well, you can't touch me up here, Randy. The enemy will find a way to get to you. He might not be coming to you right now, Daryl. Okay? But he will find a way to get to you. And going back to what I saw with my sister Kathy here, okay? He might not be able to get to me personally, but he'll try to come out to my children. Right. To my wife or your husband. He'll try to come with something near to you. They said, we got to keep moving and we got to encourage people to go with us. Yes. And make sure that we don't take people in the areas that we don't belong ourselves, that they're going to pay the price. A lot of times we kind of step over the lines and we think, it won't hurt nothing. It could be just as simple, folks, as you're watching your TV tonight, Jack, and that show comes on. Ruth's out in the kitchen. Keep listening. Make sure she's not coming back, you know. And we're watching whatever it might be on TV. But we just invited the evil one into our homes. And man, and if you find yourself doing that, man, just repent for forgive me. And whatever I brought in the house by disobedience, Lord, I just order it out today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let your home be a home where God lives. He's coming back soon, very soon. And again, for husbands and wives, two shall become one. And what one goes through, the other one goes through. And that can be good, or that can be bad. And we make sure that we follow the Lord to make sure things are turn out well for us. I hope I helped somebody this morning. I hope I encouraged somebody this morning. But going back to the message from a few weeks ago, we had signs out here saying car wash. Free lunch. I forgot about the free lunch part. You know, people out here speaking, sharing things. Then we had one of them that said, repent, God loves you. We're talking about, you know, these signs wasn't too hard to put out there, but this one here, we find it maybe difficult to go out there and stand among the world and tell them, hey, you repent. You repent from turn away from your sin. God loves you. You know, we do that and we're afraid we're going to get whacked or be told that we are a Jesus freak. We'll be mocked, ridiculed. But again, whatever God calls us to do, as a church or as an individual, he'll equip us with the strength to do it. It will allow him to do that. But time is coming very soon that, again, the church will be taken out of here. And we know that there's a heaven and there's a hell. Amen? Amen. And both of them are real. They're not something made up. Hell wasn't put in the Bible to scare people into doing things God's way. Hell was described to us in the Bible to encourage us to do things God's way. And you think, well, why is it, well, you know, I don't believe, Jason, that when I die, I'll go to hell. I don't believe if I die, I go to heaven. We hear that all the time. Some people think that, well, when I die, I'm just done. I run my course. But the Word of God time and time again describes to us that there is an eternity and an afterlife. In the Garden of Eden, when man was made in God's image, he breathed his spirit into us, his breath. We were a living being. The spirit of the living God was in us. When Adam and Eve sinned, that spirit died. It was separated. And we say we are dead in the spirit, or we have the spirit of evil living in us, however you want to look at that. Jesus Christ came 4,000 years later to bring that spirit back into us. As we receive him, the spirit of the living God comes into us. And I always visualize it that as the spirit of God is in me, when my body lays down, the spirit returns back to him who gave it to me and it takes my soul with him. Yeah. Okay, if his spirit is not in me, I have the evil spirit in me, I'm going to say it that way, it will go where it's supposed to go, and it's hell. And when it goes, it'll take my soul with it. And that's, to me, that's an easy way of looking at it there. If you don't have the Spirit of living God in you, if you're not born again, as Carol was saying earlier today, if we're not born again of the Spirit, when we die, we do not go to heaven. And that's not judging people. That's just telling the truth. We don't. You can be a great person. You can be sitting here today, be the nicest person, passing out money to everybody and everything else. But if that Spirit that died in the garden, if it's dead in you today, and you pass on, you do not go to heaven. That's why it's so important for everyone to understand that. And you said it before in that song, we must be born again. And to get ourselves to understand, that's one thing, but to get the world to understand that, to be born again, to repent from our sins, turn away from our sins. And that is the challenge God has given us as born-again Christians, is to share that with one another. Share that with the world, that he is coming back. There is a little hell, literally a hell that we want to stay away from. If you would go to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I encourage you, if you have availability to a Bible with you, to turn to the scriptures here. Sometimes it's always great to see it writing yourself. This is what the Word of God says. It's not what the pastor says. And the second thing, it's good to have these scriptures available to encourage yourself if you really... If sometimes you think, well, should I continue my walk with the Lord or should I just turn away from Him? I think if you start reading again what the Bible says about hell, it will encourage you to continue with your walk. But in Hebrews chapter 10... Let me get out of James and I'll read it to you. Verse 26, I'm going to read verse 25 first. It says, 23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing. To encourage one another. He says in 26, where if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there will be no longer remain the sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Again, this is the Word of God. We're in Hebrew chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. We want to emphasize on right now that if we willfully continue to sin, embracing sin, knowing it's against God's laws, and we do it anyway. He's saying there's nothing more that God can do for us. You know, it's kind of like if my wife is on the fire department and I catch my stove on fire because I'm cooking grease, and she comes in and puts it out for me there, and then she leaves, and I say, well, by golly, I'm going to catch on fire again. And I keep doing that. There's nothing more she can do for me. And she can't put it out the first time. But knowing the hazard of a fire on our kitchen stove, the hazard to the house, if I understand that, or whether I don't understand it, if I continue to do that, there's nothing more Carol can do for me. Okay, it's up, you want to burn it down, burn it down. He's saying the same thing to us. If we want to live in sin, the wages of sin is death, destruction. If we want to continue in that, there's nothing that he can do for us. The blood of Christ covers our sin, but we bring our sin on top of the blood. There's nothing He can do for us. So it's so important to understand that. Do not, and we said this before, do not embrace sin at all in your life. Turn away from it completely. It is detrimental to your walk with God and to your salvation. Please, once saved, always saved is not right. Now, once saved, always saved, if you continue your walk with Christ, He will never get rid of you, amen? He's not going to change it tomorrow and say, okay, well, I've added two more requirements to salvation. No, you'll always be saved. But if you decide that you'd rather be in sin, you'd rather entertain the things that are not of God, then nothing Jesus can do for you. Amen. Matthew 25. God, I know people who believe that everyone, only the bad people, goes to hell. I mean, and it's bad people based upon their scale who bad people are. And we have to look at ourselves at what the Word of God says and trust the Word of God. You know, don't we believe the Word of God is right? It's true? Okay. And so we got to know that He knows what's best for us. It's kind of like going through that forest. If we can't sit down in the middle of all that and build a house and say, I'm going to stay right here. We want to continue on. And when we encounter these things in our lives, you got some stuff in your life that you got rid of years ago, but it'll come back around and haunt you one day. It'll come back and tempt you. Just turn away from it. Recognize it. If it was sin 20 years ago, it's still sin. Don't think we embrace it now. And again, don't be misled by what they tell you on the television set or what your congressman tells you or what the laws we pass in America. We got to look at God's law. Sin is sin. But Matthew 25, verse 41, he says, and then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, and into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angel. Again, he's describing a real place, an eternal fire. He's not saying we'll go away to limbo or just disappear completely, no longer exist. That you will go into a place of eternal fire, and fire is torment, the same place where the devil and all his angels will be at. Okay? Fallen angels, evil. And as we follow evil, as we do evil, we go to the same place that they will go. If I can just share on verse 42, he says, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Okay? Now, I'm going to plow this for a second. Is that what he is talking to the church? Do you understand this?
Yeah.
He's talking to the church. And what he is saying, man, if you do not have love for your brother and sister, if I can look at my sister Bonnie in need as a born-again Christian, and I don't reach out with what I have to meet that need, wow, I'm looking at the lake of fire. Because what he's saying is this, if the Spirit of the living God is in you, God is what? God is love. Then you'll be compassionate, moved upon your heart to share with one another. Okay? Now, we do an awesome ministry here as we feed the people in our community. Okay? Which is an awesome thing to do. But he's talking to the church. We have to remember that. It's love. It's compassion. It's doing for one another. It's forgiving one another. Okay? It is forgiving one another. Sharing with one another. And that's a two-way street. You know, he's talking to the church. And too many times we think, well, I'm born again. Or I said a prayer. That's all I need to do. Listen, that's just a start. The Spirit of the living God will come in you. And please check yourself. You know, if you find your heart to the point, man, I don't know. God, I just can't hardly do that. Be real with Him and say, God, I'm having a hard time with this. God, help me. He will. He wants to. God, soften my heart that I can love this person sitting behind me over here or beside me over here. Or, God, they said this. No. If we place His laws and His rewards into our life, we'll find ourselves going to one another, seeking forgiveness, or sharing that you've hurt me, or I love you, I care for you. What do you need? He wants us to be unified. Not run in here 20 minutes, out of here, not know who's behind you, who's in front of you. We are in this thing together. And that's how important it is. But when we neglect the things that God's given us, and that is watching over one another, and that's how important it is. Because when he says that when you do the least of these, you've done it to me. 2 Peter chapter 2. Again, I believe you all do an awesome job here serving our community. And as you do it out of love for Christ, then He gets the glory. But we can come in here every day, be mad at each other, mad at the world, and still feed people. Just to have people say, wow, what a nice person Bonnie is. Well, man, go down there and eat some of that Carol White's chocolate cake. Yeah, if Carol only does that to brag about her cake, But her heart's for the community. We make sure our hearts... And again, be real with yourself. When you find your heart getting kind of cold towards people at times, and which will happen, God soft my heart. Fast in prayer, and He'll just restore that. Read His Word. Chapter 2, verse 4, says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness, reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And what he's shown us here, number one, hell was real. It was designed for the angels. Now, think about the angels up there praising the Lord and just worshiping Him and all this, having a great time with Him, okay, in His presence. But when they sin, when they turn against God, boom, down. And someday they'll be in the bottomless pit for eternity. Amen. So we have to remember that ourselves. We might be in here today praising the Lord. Yes, yes. But tomorrow, if we decide we're going to step back into sin and stay in sin, I'm not talking about slipping. I'm talking about step back into sin. Oh, and the next Sunday come back, we got to watch it. Because there's a place built for those who reject Jesus. That was for the angels, but it's also for those who follow the evil one. It's a real place. And a day is coming where that final judgment is going to take place. You look at Noah. It's another thing. People in those times, they had religion back in Noah's time. They probably had churches on every corner doing this and that, the other. But they did not have Christ. Well, they did not have the Holy Spirit in the church. Let me put it that way. They didn't have God in the church. No love for God. They might come together for an hour just because they got a bean dinner that day or something, but they didn't have a love for God. And look at them, they got wiped out. You know, God loves us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to repent from our sins, follow Him. But we decide not to do that, then God says, okay, you're making your own choice. This is the way it's going to be. And we know what it is, don't we? And we choose not to go with the flow of God, then we're bringing on fire and brimstone ourselves. Matthew 13. And God hasn't changed at all. He never will change. You know, I'm still with the department over there. I'm the chaplain. And with that, I have to go and qualify my firearm. And I had to do that yesterday, and I actually did well. But every year, they change the course. It's never the same. You think you're ready to go do it to qualify, or they change it this way or that way. It's always different. I don't know what it is till I get up here. But with God, praise God, He doesn't change. You know, I read 15 years ago, it's still the same today. What He spoke 15 years ago is still the same. So now, as you read the Word of God, it's not going to change. You can hang on and rely on it. If you go someplace to do something that you've done before, and let's say you dressed up in a raincoat because they always take you under this water slide, some of the amusement parks, and they don't take you there anymore, wow. So the next year you come back, well, I'm not sure which way to dress. Well, with God, don't worry about how to dress. Stay on the blood of Him, for His Word will never change. It will never, ever change. In chapter 13, verse 42. Well, I'll start 41. And the Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks, and those who commit lawlessness. Stumbling blocks are those who are causing people to sin, and those who commit lawlessness or those who sin. And will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, a real place, a live place. A place would be, like say, gnashing of teeth. You ever have somebody get so mad at you, they growl at you? I've had that happen to me a couple of times. You know, it wasn't my wife either, but you get so mad. And you really realize that hell is torment, and we're not down there, like I said there a couple of weeks ago. It's not going to be a party. Me and Bonnie and Daryl and Dolores are going to be down there around on one table, you know, drinking whiskey and playing cards, you know. Now we're going to be separated by ourselves in chains, being tormented day and night. And God doesn't want that. You were made in His image. He doesn't want you in there being tormented. He wants you to allow Him to keep you out of that place by following His Son, Jesus Christ, by receiving Him as your Savior and Lord. But if we reject Him, He's saying, this is what's going to happen. He's a loving, caring God. He's telling us beforehand what will happen to us if we want to follow lawlessness. And to me, that's a loving, merciful God. And in Luke chapter 3, I got two more here yet today. Well, it's about in Matthew, I just want to share it to you as you're turning there. Jesus Himself spoke about hell. It wasn't just disciples making stuff up. It wasn't people in the church trying to get more attendance or trying to get more money from people. Saying, well, you got to get more money, or you going to burn it? Hell is real. Yes. It's based upon your love for the Lord, whether you have it in your life or not. But Luke chapter 3, verse 17, he says, and his winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and be gathered the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And the winnowing fork is a big fork that you go along and you pick up what's good from your harvest, but the chaff, the dust and stuff falls on it. It's like a great big, take a dinner fork and enlarge it about 80 times, okay? And you go around, and that's from the old days there. Opal told me about it. I never used one myself. But just kidding you. But he picks it up, and what's his, what's good, comes with you. What isn't, falls down, and then it's gathered up, and it's burnt. It's burnt up. And that's the same way with sin. That's the same way with those when he comes to gather his people, those who are not with them, they're not following him, and they'll fall through there, and they'll be burnt up. It's a true thing. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, and these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Again, he's talking about those who live in lawlessness, those who embrace sin. And what really sticks out to me is when he says, those will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And if people can live today away from the presence of the Lord, away from the presence of the Lord today and away from His glory, if you can live a life today not being in fellowship with one another, not studying His Word, if you can live in fellowship, if you can live today without praising Him, without being born again, if you can live today without having God in your life, if you can live today of not allowing the Word of God to give you the light upon your path, if you can live today without allowing God to give you direction in your life, without allowing the Word of God to help you live a life that pleases Him, if you can live today without having God in your life, you will live eternity without God in your life. Amen. Understand that. You don't die all of a sudden, oh, I love God. If you don't love God today, if you don't have God in your life today, when you enter eternity, God is not going to make you miserable by being in His presence for eternity. He'll allow you to go where you've already been and where you want to be, and that is an eternity without God. You know, right now, you might think you're living in hell right now. Oh, Pastor, my life's like hell. Well, it might be like hell, but you still have one thing different than what hell is. You have hope today. You have the hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to allow Him in your life and bring you through this life and prepare you for eternal life. You still have hope, so you haven't seen nothing yet what hell is going to be like. We do not change automatically the minute we close our eyes and step into eternity and think, oh, here I am. Here I am, God. Who? Go away, I do not know you. We have to understand that, guys. That's why preachers are in the pulpits, and that's why the Holy Spirit is upon you guys. We have to share that. We don't change. We don't change from what we are here to what we are in eternity. I mean, my wife, I always pick on my wife. I love my wife. I thank you, Lord, for my wife. Now, I sure just, we didn't sit around 30 years drinking coffee at a coffee shop and her hating my guts. But I can't stand that guy. He's obnoxious. He's... Bah, 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 bah. And then one day I walk up and marry her and she fall in love with me. Amen? Right. Can you expect her to fall in love with something she can't stand that don't want to be around me? Why do we expect the same thing when we die? We don't all go to heaven. We all have the opportunity. But we have to choose life over death. We have to choose Jesus Christ. Because this thing is real. Life is real. Eternity is real. And I just ask you today, Lord, just check your hearts today. I asked my wife to share this song with us as we close this morning. But really, it's not... Your relationship with God has nothing... Well, let me see. It does have something to do with me. But your relationship with God is between you and God. Understand? Your relationship with God is Him being in your life. You allowing Him to govern your life. You allowing Him to speak to you in that little clear voice and allowing Him to move you. But as my wife shares this song with us this morning, I actually just check your heart today and just, man, do you want more of the Lord?
Amen.
Do you want more of the Spirit? God come in and do an operation? God, take this crap out of me. You know, I testified the other day to my wife. I mean, I can be the grumpiest person in the world at times. My prayer to my God is, God, help me love my wife more. I love her to pieces, but let me show it more. I get grumpy at one thing, and then next thing I'm growling at her. I can recognize that where areas I need help at. And I seek the Lord for more and more of that. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the hope that we have here today. And as we leave here today, we'll take that blessed hope of Christ with us, Lord. And I ask today, Father, that your blessing be upon each one, that we just turn their face toward each one here, God, and grant them peace. May your hand of protection be over them. May they walk in the healing Christ brought to us at the cross. And may each day they walk in the victory that the blood of Christ and his name secures for us. And Father, may the love we have for each other continue to grow and help us reach out to our community and our family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.